Hey, fellow adventurers, Tyrone here. Just a reminder, if you can, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this episode of Modus Critica. It really helps us get the word out. Thank you so much for your continued support and enjoy the episode.
Modus Critica is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised.
Last time on Modus Critica. Our heroes were brought into the underground city of Elysium by a mysterious man named Leowyn Greneth of Clan Greneth. Discussing much of their options in their quest to obtain the Stone of Power and learning more of their adversaries, the party enjoyed some Torkens over a pint of mead. After some light shopping and a good night's rest, our fearless heroes headed off into the dark with Clan Greneth following in the shadows. As they made their way into the dark, they came across a cavern wherein a giant spider dropped from the ceiling with a familiar-looking cloaked figure riding atop in a saddle.
Welcome to Modus Critica, a 5th edition actual play D&D podcast. We are 6 summer flowers trying to bloom in the harsh winters of Icewind Dale. We're here to role play, roll heads, and roll dice. Those 6 flowers are...
Hello, I'm Kyle. I'll be playing Darius Adolfo, and I'm that flower that blooms once and smells like trash. But you're scientific and you love to watch it.
Oh, no. Hey, I'm Sid. I play Gord Godhand, the half-orc barbarian paladin. And if Gord was any flower, he would be a violet.
Aw.
Not nice. Violent.
The violet.
Oh! Yeah, he would be. He would be.
Hi, I am Eric, and I play Cornelius, the rhododendron.
I don't know why that's so funny. Sometimes simple is best. Hi, my name is Caitlin. I play Tork Tortellini, who is a very anxious turtle monk. And if Tork were a flower, I mean, actually, I don't really think it matters what kind of flower he'd be. I think it just what matters is he steps on them. As he's walking, he's always like gunning to step on the flowers instead of avoid them.
We're gonna talk about that.
Yeah, he feels a bit bad about it, but there's just something about that kind of squishy feeling under his feet that he likes.
Hey, I'm Zach. I play Nevlin, thrice great gnome illusionist. If Nevlin was a flower, he would be the psychoactive flower on Echinopsis peruviana or the Peruvian torch.
Can that be Nevlin's nickname now, the Peruvian Torch? Like, if you were a hockey player, I feel like that's what Nevlin's nickname would be.
Nevlin, the Peruvian Torch, thrice great.
Oh, God, what a name.
If there's some fantasy realm with a similar name to Peru, but that isn't quite Peruvian in nature.
Perfect.
I would adapt that mantle.
Absolutely.
And I am Tyrone. I am your flower child, dungeon master, and
You're the sun, man.
If I was a flower, I wouldn't be. I'd be an oregano plant.
Well, oregano has flowers at some point.
Yeah, it's true.
I am a culinary herb.
Oregano's really good for you, so it's...
I've been taking a lot of it.
Oh, yeah, because you're really morbidly sick.
No, not that bad. I don't use the term morbidly.
Oh.
It's just pink eye.
So last session, you guys left Elysium and the company of Leowyn Greneth of Clan Grinnith, the Drow. You make your way up through the maze of tunnels, out of Elysium and across this arch where Torque fell off, almost died. and when you made your way further down past the arch there, you went into the cliff face and found yourself in a large cavern with a river running through the middle of it. Complete darkness aside from the light created from the fungi at the far end of the cavern. And as you started to explore the cave, you heard some rocks falling from the ceiling of the cave. And before you had a chance to even notice, a giant spider dropped down. And as it reared up its front two legs, you saw the Shadarkai mage that was riding upon its back. And I need all of you guys to roll initiative.
Ooh. Gord rolled a 17.
Dario rolled a strong 11.
Cornelius got a lovely 10.
Tort got a 15.
That's a 16 for Nevlin.
Nice. Hey.
Spud got a 23. So first up is going to be Spud. Spud sees the spider and you see his eyes go from a small black circle to a large black circle as he takes the spider into his view. But then his eyes go back to the same size as they are and he tightens his stance and he draws both of his short swords and runs directly at the spider.
Do it, Spud.
So as Spud runs in toward the spider, he immediately summons his drake, Charlene, and Charlene pops into existence directly beside him as he attacks twice with his short swords. And that's going to be a 6 plus 7 for 13, which is not going to do it. The second one is 12 plus 7 for 19, which will hit, and that thing is going to take 1d6 plus 4 damage for 7 damage.
Do it, Spud.
Charlene is going to attack right after that, and just going to lean out and bite this thing, and totally misses, chomps the air. But that's going to be their turn, and then it is going to be the Shadarkai mage's turn, and he's on top of the spider. He moves his hands through the air, almost like cutting the air with fire as he shoots a firebolt directly at you, Dario.
Oh, shit.
Oh, and he rolls a nat 1. Okay, I'm rolling the D-sucks. 3-4, hit the floor. Okay, yeah, you know what? Shit happens when you party naked. He goes to cast this spell and he loses his kind of like his ground on the saddle, and as he casts the firebolt, it shoots way off in the distance and he falls off the side of the saddle of the spider and lands on the ground beside it, falling prone. And that's going to be his turn.
Oh, I didn't lose guy on the spider?
Yeah, there's a Shadarkai
Spider-Man
on the top of the spider. And then it is going to be the giant spider's turn. You can't keep breaking her like this or we'll never have a podcast.
Sorry, it was just so stupid.
So this spider looks over at its rider and it grabs its rider with its talons and its mouth. I'm going to make it roll a strength and dexterity check. That's going to pass for the strength to lift it up. Just dex to make sure it doesn't squish him, and it should be fine. It picks up the Shadarkai mage in its mouth, and it walks towards Spud, and it kind of like veers up its butt and goes to sting Spud.
No!
With its stinger that's on its butt, if you needed to know.
That's on the thorax.
Thorax, yes, thank you. 5 plus 4 is 9, that is not going to hit. With that, you guys all of a sudden see the face spider disappear into the ethereal plane.
No, it's one of these.
Ah, fuck.
And next, it's going to be Gord's turn.
Gord pulls out his glaive, says, well, good warm-up then. And he'll move to where the spider was and ready in action to attack if it appears close to him.
Okay, then it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
Yeah, Nevlin comes down the sort of embankment that leads into the chamber here, and he's like, everybody, stick close together. That thing's going to pop up anywhere. And he's also going to cast Mage Armor on himself, bringing him up to 16 AC.
Dope.
That's the end of the turn.
All right, then it's going to be Torque.
So the Shatter Kai, the Shatter Kai guy left with the spider?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, Torque is going to move down a little bit, just ever so much closer to the rest of his party, and he pulls out his moon-touched sword, glowing a really nice, pretty kind of blue-silver color, and he's going to ready an action to basically attack with his sword if the spider or whoever appears close to him.
Okay, sounds good. That's going to be your turn then?
Yeah.
Then it's going to be Dario.
Okay, well, Dario moves off to the right, in behind Spud and next to Torque, pulls out his coffin shield, and also he grabs his medallion, prays to Mercule, and covers himself with the divine barrier of Shield of Faith. Bring my AC up to 18.
All right.
And be like, get ready, guys. He could be coming from anywhere.
And is that going to be your turn?
That'll be my turn, yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah, shut up, Devlin. I'm having an original thought here.
Then it's going to be Cornelius' turn.
All right, well, Cornelius is going to run down towards everybody, kind of group up, and I think that's it. That's all I'm going to do. And I'm just going to look around and be like, be careful. It could come from anywhere.
Ah, Jesus.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Thanks for letting us know, Cornelius.
Yeah.
With that, you guys hear a loud battle cry as not one, but two Formorian warriors come in from the northern entrance and start rushing down into the cavern.
Oh no, it's an ambush.
There better not be four more of them.
Yeah, we don't need four more Formorian warriors.
It is FOMO, like FOMO, Formorian.
Oh, it's four for me forever now.
Don't steal our thunder. Okay.
I just know we had that conversation before, and I'm pretty sure I said it
before,
was Formorian.
Ty, we had that conversation before.
I mean,
it's actually pronounced FA.
Famarian.
In
as Famarian.
No, I'm talking about Famarian warriors. Oh, like Vietnamese pho? Like, come on.
Oh.
Pho. They're Sioux people.
Okay, so you guys hear them. I think at this point you probably can like maybe see like a glint of something in the distance, but that is going to be both of their turns in that round. It is going to be, again, Spud, top of the round. Spud's going to be looking around, and he's like, Oh, bad. Where did it go? Where did it go? Ah, it could come from anywhere, guys. It could come from anywhere. And he's got an action readied for both of his short swords as he's kind of dancing back and forth with his swords. And that's going to be his turn. The first Famorian warrior. Not this again. Fuck. Luckily, there's only two of them. Is going to dash all the way to his next location there. You guys now...
Good God, he just came from anywhere!
Yeah. Gord, you see this guy running across. He is on the other side of the river, directly across from you, to the west. And but he has dashed. That is his whole turn. So next, it is going to be... Well, you guys can't really see it, but something happens. And then, all of a sudden...
Cool.
Something happens.
Who knows?
Then, all of a sudden, the giant face spider pops back into existence. And
but where?
Came from anywhere.
It pops down just to the south of where it was just before, or kind of like the southeast, I guess. And as it comes back into this plane of existence, this is going to get a little confusing, I guess, because Spud readied his action. So, first off, I think what's going to happen here is... They're going to go first. It'll be all at the same time, but they're going to go first for shits and giggles. So what you guys couldn't see was that the Shadow Kai Mage was getting back up onto the spider's back in the ethereal plane and also preparing to cast a spell. So first off, the Shadow Kai Mage is going to be casting a Firebolt at Spud as he is the closest. And that is going to hit. That's a 16 plus, I think, 7... And he will take 1d10 damage. Luckily, that's only 2 damage to Spud.
No, Spud, you're mushroomy flesh.
Yeah, so this thing unleashes a firebolt at Spud, and you can see it just, it sizzles the side of his face a little bit and burns him, and he's like, ugh. And as that happens, Spud will also move 5 feet forward to slash at the face spider again. First one's going to hit. Second one's a nat 20. So the first attack is going to be 1d6 plus 4 for 9 damage to the giant face spider. And then it is going to take that nat 20. So that's going to be 10 damage plus 1d6 plus 4. So 13, 17 damage on the second slash. Critical hit as Spud comes in with his second short sword. Then it's going to be the giant phase spider, and it is going to bite at Spud. That is a 12 plus 4 is 16, which does not hit. Spud manages to kind of like block the arm or the leg of the spider as it comes in, kind of moves out of the way of the talons. His face, his teeth, whatever the fuck you want to call it, Kyle.
Way to go there, Spud. You managed to avert disaster with its talons.
He does not say that during battle. He does not.
There's going to be a lot of angry entomologists after this episode.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's proboscis.
Then it's going to be the second Fomori and Moria's turn, and it runs down, dashing as well, still in a battle cry. It runs down directly across from you, right next to his brother in arms, and then it's going to be Gord's turn.
Gord, seeing the spider, says, finally a target, and he'll use his bonus action to calm his senses, go into a rage, focus in, and take a swinging attack at this spider in front of him, recklessly.
All right.
What a roller coaster of emotions. Calm, rage, recklessness.
You gotta think like his rage is like your key. It hones in and focuses more than getting angry, right? He's mastered staying calm.
And then getting really angry.
He also now cuts himself.
He's like a, what, 4th level barbarian?
Yeah, he's mastered staying calm in a rage. It's when he's out of rage that his emotions run high.
Oh, that's very deep.
Yeah.
And confusing.
Yeah, so that is 11 damage.
All right. Oh, did you roll the hit?
Oh, yeah. Did. Yeah, it was a 19.
That does hit. And 11 damage.
Yeah. That'll be his turn.
You slash into this thing, right into its leg, and you see its leg retract immediately as it kind of turns and hisses at you.
Perfect. And actually, it was 13 damage because of my rage damage.
Oh, okay.
I forgot about that.
Then it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
All right, Nevlin's going to scamper 25 feet back up the platform he just ran down from. And so this ridge around, you said, was about 20 feet tall, but at this point, I'm only about maybe 15 feet up.
Yeah.
Up this sort of ramp area?
Yeah, 10 to 15.
Yeah, okay. So probably the same distance off the ground, like 10 feet or so.
Yeah.
Cool. Nevlin is going to, for the first time, fire off Agonazar's Scorcher, and he's firing it towards the spider and rider. It creates a 30-foot-long, 5-foot-wide line of roaring flame emanates from me in a direction I choose. So, obviously, I'm blasting, trying to get the spider and the rider at the same time.
Okay.
So those will be dexterity checks for half damage.
Okay, so yeah, what's the DC?
The DC for that is going to be 16.
All right, so first for the spider, that's a 16 plus 2 for 18. And for the rider, that's a 3 plus 2 for 5, so that's a fail.
All right, so that's 12 fire damage to the rider, 6 to the spider.
All right.
Gonna have some tasty spider legs afterwards, though.
Is that gonna be, is that gonna be your turn, Nevlin?
That's Nevlin's turn, yeah.
Finger licking.
All right, then it's gonna be Torque's turn.
Okay, so Torek is clutching his moon-touched short sword, and he's gonna look at the spider, and he's gonna shout, "Say hello to my shiny new little friend! His name is Gordon Matthew Thomas Sumner. I was gonna call him Sting, but with all the stinging you've been trying to do, I kind of figured maybe you had already taken that name. But anyway, and he runs at the spider. And he's going to attempt to cut him very deeply.
All right, do it up and roll for attack.
Oh, it embarrassingly enough, it doesn't hit. It wasn't too bad. There's a 15.
Are you attacking the spider?
Yeah.
That hits.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, well, I take back all that embarrassment then. Okay, well, so that'll be 9 damage.
Okay.
With the short sword. And then at 5th level, Twerk actually gained Stunning Strike as well. So when you hit another creature with a melee weapon attack, I can spend 1 key point to attempt a Stunning Strike. And the target must succeed on a constitution saving throw or be stunned until the end of my next turn.
Okay.
So I'm going to spend a key point and I'm going to attempt that. It doesn't say what the saving throw, like, DC is.
It's probably going to be based off of your wisdom.
Your key save DC is 8 plus your proficiency bonus plus your wisdom modifier.
Okay, so that would be 14.
Okay.
Nice saving throw, yeah.
So the spider has to beat 14.
Yeah.
Is it dexterity?
No, it's constitution.
Okay, yeah. Word up. And that is a 3.
Yeah! So that motherfucker's pretty stunned.
So he's stunned until the beginning of your next turn?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And then Twerk is going to use his extra attack to try and attack again with his short sword. And
would it be an advantage because he's stunned?
Fingers crossed it is, because I rolled a 14 for the first one.
It's at advantage, and he automatically fails strength and dex saving throws.
Oh, amazing. Well, that second roll is a 25, so...
Yeah, that hits.
Sick.
That'll be 8 damage with his short sword, again, with Gordon Matthew Thomas Sumner.
All right. Yeah, you slash into him with David Matthew.
Dave Thomas. Matthews? No.
And you rip into its stunned spider leg as it kind of retracts back into its body.
Amazing. May I use my bonus action to use my turtle claws?
Yeah, you can use your bonus action if you'd like.
Okay, thank you. Longest turn ever. Sorry, guys. So that'll be 24 to hit.
Yeah, that hits as well.
Did I mention that Twerk hates spiders? So he's just giving her.
Jeez, Twerk, you're a regular king of pain, you know?
Thank you, I've been told that before! And that'll be 8 damage with his turtle claws.
All right.
Salmonella.
Yeah, and now he's got salmonella poisoning. Stunned in salmonella.
Yeah, that's giving him a little something.
And is that going to be Torque's turn?
Yeah, I think that's about all he can do.
Well done. All right, then it's going to be Dario's turn.
Oh, man. Already. Okay. Well,
I know it's a tough act to follow, but you can do this, Dario!
All right. I can do this.
So I run diagonally down, not 5 feet away from Gord, and, you know, 5 feet behind me would be Spud. But I go to stand sort of in opposition to the four Morians when they arrive.
But I turn around, and I grab my medallion of Mercure, and I cast the dolorous tones of his death knell upon the spider.
Yeah!
And so I cast Toll the Dead.
On the spider.
On the spider.
All right.
And that will be a wisdom saving throw, DC 13, spell saving throw.
He rolled an 11, so he fails.
Yeah.
Nice! And he's already been damaged, so he takes D12. Dolorous tone damage.
Is this the first time it's ever done damage?
It's been a long time. I've casted it at least 5 times since, like, so many episodes ago, and it finally worked.
9 damage.
Yeah. Very
9 nice. Damage. That's all right. Nice. These bells ring as the spider, it can't move, and it's just faltering in its space, completely stunned, and as these bells start to ring through its head, it just screams out in pain, and it takes a bunch of fucking... What is it, necrotic damage?
Is it necrotic damage? Yes.
Yeah, damage of the dead.
As I cook it inside of its carapace.
Its thorax wiggles.
That's right.
All right, and that's going to be your turn?
Yes.
All right, then it's going to be Cornelius.
All right, so Cornelius is going to run 20 feet towards that river.
Yeah.
And then as bonus action, I'm going to cast Misty Step onto the other side of the river. And then as my action, I am going to summon my wildfire spirit. And in the spirit of all the flowers today, hence comes forth Goldbloom.
Nice.
And I'm gonna have Goldbloom land right next to those two fucking Fomorian warriors, and they're both gonna have to roll dex saves.
Let me tell you about chaos theory. Watch this water droplet. Where does it run to? Oh, off the back or down your fingers? Whoa. Sorry, I don't watch Jurassic Park very much.
Okay. 19 for the first one, and 8 for the second one.
All right, so the second one's going to take 2d6 fire damage, and that'll be 6 fire damage.
All right.
And then before my turn ends, I'm going to use the last little, or some of my movement, and get up next to Goldbloom. And then on Goldbloom's turn, he's going to cast Fiery Teleportation.
Okay.
And he's going to bring us right across. No, he can't. So he's just going to bring us 15 feet back.
Wow. That's super cool.
And that's my turn.
All right. It is going to be top of the round. It's going to be Spud. Spud is going to immediately attack the phase spider at advantage. Fuck. That was a nat 1 and a 10,
fuck.
So...
Fuck.
The second one, 5 and a 4. No dice, plus 7, 13. No. It's not going to hit. All right, so for the first one, it's going to take 1d6 plus 4 damage. That's going to be 6 damage to the phase spider.
Phase spider or phase spider?
Phase.
Oh, phase I thought it was spider. Phase spider. Like it was a fairy
no,
spider.
No, it's a phase spider. Oh, phase spider.
It just has like decorative moth wings.
A little flower crown.
It's a cute spider.
Now he makes his extra attack, which I've been forgetting to do. So that's going to be a 17, which is a hit. Another 1d6 plus 4 damage. So that is going to be 7 more damage to the phase spider, who is starting to look pretty rough. As he slashes into this thing 3 times, and right as he finishes, Charlene comes in for a bite. And again, chomps at the air, missing. Then, it's going to be the first Fomorian warrior's turn.
It's never going to be 4 from now on. It's always going to be 2, 3, 5.
Oh, you know there's going to be 4 eventually. There's also other classes. These guys are just like the pawns, the peons.
Like a 5th Morian?
A 5th Morian soldier.
I believe it'd be 4th Morian.
My apologies.
So, yeah, this Fomorian warrior is going to run directly up towards Goldbloom.
Whoop-de-fuck.
And is going to attack Goldbloom twice with its great axe.
Oh, man.
Oh, ha. Oh.
11 plus 5 to hit for 16.
That's a hit.
Oh, no.
And that's an 18 plus 5 to hit as well. So both of those are going to be 1d12 plus 3 slashing damage each. First one is max damage, so that's going to be 15 damage. Second one is going to be 11.
Goldbloom is dead!
Yeah, so this thing just comes up and just fucking shatters.
Oh no.
Goldbloom on the second hit, and Goldbloom is just like wiped off the face of the earth.
Bye.
And by that I mean the Shadow Fae.
Little Goldbloom.
Damn.
And that's going to be his turn. It is then going to be the Shadarkai Mage's turn. He is kind of like struggling to stay on top. I'm actually going to have him roll a dexterity check to remain control. This is animal control or animal handling, sorry. So that's going to be a 16. So he will manage to stay on the spider as he pulls in the reins tight. He reaches into his pocket for some spell components. And you guys see his hand come out. As
he's holding bat dung, isn't he? Bat dung.
Guano.
As he pulls out some guano and sulfur from his spell component pouch, he rubs his hands together, creating a spark, and a fireball starts to grow in his hands as he hurls this thing towards the ground behind you guys. I need Dario, Spud, and Jarlin will all make a dexterity saving throw.
I got plus 0 to this, so I depend on the dice. I rolled a nat 1.
Oh,
dude.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, well, you're going to take full damage. Spud's going to go here. He's got mad dex. He passes with flying colors. Jarlin, rolled a nat 20, so they managed to kind of like assume the fetal position and not take as much of this damage. But Daria, you're going to take a full 8d6 damage.
Fuck.
Dario smoking.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
What is that? Like, that's a lot there. What's, I don't know the math. I feel bad.
26.
Oh my god.
You're gonna take 30 fire damage, Dario. Spud's gonna take 15, and Jarlin is also gonna take 15.
Good thing we had that hero's feast.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Oh my god.
The fire briefly illuminates my body. See light cascading through like all the ventricles and shit of my body. My back is entirely burned.
Stop, drop, and roll!
Wait, how do I do this as Dario? Ah! Oh no!
Yeah, so it burns you guys. Spud feels the wrath of this fireball as well, and Jarlin also kind of cowers and lets out a bit of a dragonish roar as this fireball just consumes everything in that area.
Shit.
And that is going to be the Shatterkai's turn. Next, it is going to be the giant phase spider, but he is stunned until the start of Torque's next turn, so he will not be going this round. Then it's going to be Gord's turn.
All right. Gord chuckles, looks over to Dario, says, "You're looking hot there, buddy."
This is a terrible joke. It hurts so much.
Took me a whole 3 rounds to figure that one out. Gord then nicks himself with his glaive as a free action, taking 4 damage to give a blood sacrifice. Oh. And he says, "Let's have some fun." And he takes his attack on the spider at advantage.
All right, roll the hit.
And that's a 21 on that attack.
That's a hit.
So 19 damage on that attack.
Oh, my God.
All right. Yeah, you slash into its thorax, and you start to see the black blood seeping out to the ground.
Perfect. He'll use his bonus action to reverse the glaive and give it a nice little pokey poke.
Okay.
And that is also a 21.
All right. Roll damage.
So that is 11 damage.
All right. Yeah, you smoke him back in the thorax, and it just lets out like a muffled scream, but it is still standing.
Excellent. I'll move up to Dario and just say, "Hey, I got your back if you got mine."
All right, but just don't touch it. It's very tender.
I give it a good slap.
Oh, God! I mean, who is that? I don't know who got it.
And that's my turn.
All right, then it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
All right. So Nevlin comes back down the sort of ramp into the cavern and saddles up beside Jarlin and Torque. And he's going to cast Color Spray. So he kind of shoots his hands forward and a 15-foot cone of flashing colored lights, sort of a rainbow of different colors, twinkle their way over to the spider and its rider, enveloping them in a mesmerizing cozy rainbow blanket. And
that's sick.
Hopefully, this spell will blind them.
That's our next band name.
Cozy Rainbow Blanket.
Yeah. Stoner Doom Rock.
The way this spell works is I roll 6d10, and that is how many hit points of creatures it can affect within that 15-foot cone in ascending order of their current hit points. So there's a pool of 38 points. If that is enough to cover the character with the lowest amount of hit points, then they will fall asleep till the end of my next turn. And then if the remainder is enough to cover the next highest health creature, they will also subdue to slumber.
Damn! It's like beautifully tragic.
Or, sorry, not slumber, they'll be blinded. I totally fucked that up.
Slightly less beautiful.
Yeah, I was like, been sleep.
Aw, a technicolor slumber blanket.
Their eyes will go to
blinds
sleep.
Blinds you.
It's so beautiful, I can't believe.
Okay, so 38. Okay, it does affect the giant face spider, who is now stunned and blinded.
Oh, God.
But it does not affect the Shatterkai mage.
All right.
All
now you see me?
Eyes.
Now you don't.
Is that going to be your turn?
Yeah.
All right, then it's going to be Torque's turn.
How do I follow that? So
a man is wicked smart.
Yeah. Okay, so Torque is going to attempt to slash vigorously at the stunned, blind spider in front of him with his sword, Gordon Matthew Thomas Sumner.
Okay, roll the hit.
That is going to be a 24 to hit.
That's a hit.
Yeah. Oh, dang, all right. So it's going to be 6 damage with his short sword.
All right. Slash into him, and it continues to bleed lifeless as it remains stunned and blinded.
Oh, starting to feel like slightly bad for the spider, but we're going to attack again.
All right.
He's going to slash out with his sword. That's going to be a 14. Oh, wait, and I get it at advantage, so that's actually going to be a 21.
That's a hit.
Oh, damn it. Okay, 7 damage.
Okay. Yeah, this thing is on its last legs. It's barely moving.
Okay, and then one more bonus action with his claws.
Yep.
And that's going to be a 25.
Yeah, that's a hit.
Come on, don't roll minimum damage. Okay, 7 damage again.
You stab into this thing right between all of its eyes, and its legs just fucking crumble as it falls to the ground and is dead.
Yes!
She lobbed that one.
Oh, fuck yeah. Torque is very, very stoked about that. And so am I.
All right. Is that going to be your turn then?
Yeah, so does the Shatterkai guy just, like, fall straight off him kind of thing? And
he's still technically on the spider.
Oh, like awkward, okay.
3-4 feet up above the ground.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Torque might just kind of, like, disengage and move back a little bit from this fallen spider.
All right. And that's going to be your turn?
And that's my turn.
Okay. And then it's going to be Dario's turn.
All right, well, I see that spider goes down. I look at that mage, and I think to myself, like, nah, these guys are going to kill him so fast. I better do something about these Formorians. So I move forward 10 feet, and I'll be like, sorry, there, Gord, I have to do this. Otherwise, I won't reach. And I grab onto the amulet of Mercule again, and I point to the Formorian directly across the water from me. I'll be like, hear the dreadful tones of Mercule bouncing between your ears. And I cast that spell. So that's DC 13, wisdom saving throw.
Toll the dead.
Toll the dead.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah, you hit. No, you hit him. That's a 2.
Oh,
nice.
Sick.
Nice, 2 for 2.
And
2
was
plus,
he
two plus two is 4. 2 plus 2 is 4.
is he already hurt as well?
This is the second one. Yes, he is already hurt, so you can roll your d12.
And the thing that I didn't realize, like last time, is now that I'm level 5, it does 2d12 damage.
Oh, dope.
As a cantrip.
Nice.
All right, roll it up.
So I rolled an 11, and I rolled a 6 for 17 necrotic damage.
Yeah, this thing hears the bells clear as day in its head as it shakes its head back and forth trying to rid itself. It puts its hands over its deformed ears and just starts shaking his head viciously as he takes this necrotic damage.
All right, and as that happens, I'll use 10 more feet to go back next to Gord, and I'll be like, there we go, we got this, buddy.
Sounded lovely.
Is that going to be your turn?
That'll be my turn, yeah.
All right, then it's going to be Cornelius' turn.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to do a concentration check for my Shield of Faith. So, you know.
Oh, when you took that hit?
When I took that hit, yeah. So let me try and beat DC 15 for half damage on 30.
Sure.
Oh, I don't know if I made it. Oh, I did. 10 plus 6 for 16.
Okay. All right. Okay. Your shield still is there. It. But, yeah, it is Cornelius' turn.
All right. Cornelius points beyond the shoulder of the Formorian standing in front and says, look behind you! And regardless if he turns around or not,
Goldblum shows up again.
Okay.
I've come back.
And both of them have to make a dex saving throw. It's a DC 15 or take 2d6 fire damage.
First one passes with flying colors. The second one passes with flying colors.
Okay, that sucks, but that's okay. And then I'm going to run up next to it, and then that's going to be my turn, and then the wildfire spirit is going to use fiery teleportation.
Okay.
And we are going to jump back just out of both of their ways, and then the Fomorian that we were next to needs to, I forgot to do this last time, but needs to make another dex saving throw.
As you teleported?
Yeah.
That's going to be a 15 plus 2 for 17.
Yeah, no, he's fine.
Okay.
So, anyways, Goldblum's back.
All right. Yeah, the fire seems to not hurt these Fomorians in their state of anger.
That's my turn.
That's your turn. So then it is going to be Spud, top of the round. Spud is going to move directly down toward the Shadarkai Mage, and he is going to swing twice with his short swords. That's a miss for the first one. Damn it. Fucking 3 plus 7 is a 10. Miss for the second as well. But he's going to use his extra attack. Also a 3. So 3 misses as he comes in with his short swords, spins around and swipes once more, just missing the Shadarkai mage. It's because he's so skinny. He's frail form. But as that happens, Jarlin runs in for a bite attack. She also has not been able to hit either, and that's a 5 plus 3, which is also a miss, and that was a sad turn for Spud. Then it's going to be the Fomorian warrior's turn, first one. He is going to run directly down to Goldblum and is going to multi-attack with his great axes. Fuck, man. I'm not using this dice anymore. That's the third 3 it's rolled in a row. For a miss, second one. Oh, no, this one rolled a fucking 2. Okay. All right, well,
those
that guy
both
just,
miss.
They both miss, yeah. He swings once and clearly just both times straight over Goldblum's head.
Chaos theory strikes again.
Then it is going to be the Shadarkai Mage's turn. The Shadarkai Mage is going to disengage from both Jarlin and Spud and is going to move another 15 feet back in toward the southern cave wall. And again, you see it pull out this guano and this...
Oh, no!
Yes.
Oh, no!
Oh, this is gonna hurt.
It's gonna hurt everybody.
Yeah. It pulls out the guano and the sulfur and it rubs its hands together again as it creates a fireball in its hands.
Puts the lotion on the skin.
Yeah, or else it gets the hose again, or the fire. This is gonna hit everyone, so I need Dario, Gord, Nevlin, Torque, Jarlin, and Spud all to make dexterity saving throws.
I rolled a 14.
Gord rolled a 17.
Dario, you fail. Gord, you pass.
Oh my god. Torque rolled a 15.
I'm gonna get knocked out.
Torque, you pass. Nevlin?
I got a 14.
Oh no!
That's a fail. And then Spud rolled a 17 plus 5. 23 is good. Jarlin rolled a 4. She's gonna take... Oh, she's gonna die. Okay, so for those of you who failed, you're gonna take the full 8d6 damage. For those of you that passed, you're gonna take half of that damage.
Y'all motherfuckers should have been on the other side of the river.
Look, Cornelius, not helpful.
Whatever, Dario.
Oh yeah, that's a gooder. Okay, so that's 18, that's 20, 28, 32, 33 damage for those of you who failed, fire damage.
33?
Oh, 33 fire damage.
So 17 for half?
Yes.
All right.
I'm down to negative 15.
Oh my god.
Oh, Dario.
Or just zero.
Okay, so Dario falls from this fire. Jarlin just completely just poofs out of existence. Spud is not looking sexy anymore.
He never did.
So cruel.
His mushroom charm has eluded him.
Nevlin's beard hairs are singed.
Oh no. Nevlin's pissed. Alright, so that's gonna be the Shadarkai Mage's turn. actually, as a bonus action, he actually misty steps to the top of the cliff.
Shyster.
And then it's going to be the second Fomorian warrior's turn, and the second Fomorian warrior runs directly to you, Cornelius, and is going to attack you twice with its great axe. So that's an 11 plus 5 for 16 to hit.
I believe that would be a hit.
Okay, and the second one is going to be a 6 plus 5 for 11 to hit, which is probably
that is not a hit.
All right, so you're going to take 1d12 plus 3 slashing damage. That is max damage, so you're going to take 15 slashing damage as he lays into you hard.
Yeah, give it to me.
That's supposed to be Gord's line.
No. Cornelius really changed ever since his parents died.
He's really kinky all of a sudden.
That was 13.
No, 15.
15.
Then it's going to be Gord's turn.
Seeing that the mage is too far away, so is everybody else. He'll put a hand on Dario's back, pump a point of HP into him, a little bit of life.
Is that a metaphor?
Pump, pump, pump me up. Wait, ew.
All right, so...
As he wakes up, I say, yeah, your work's not done yet. If I can't make it to the other side, hit me with an attack. And I'm going to go to the edge of the water. How far across is it?
Yeah,
It's about 15, 20 feet across.
Okay, wait. Jump mechanics.
Yeah.
This is tough. It's always tough.
You can jump your strength if you have a 10-foot
But I also need the movement for it.
Right.
So I take a look at it. I move to a good position. And I'm ready to jump on my next turn.
Okay. Then it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
Nevlin.
Nevlin, it's really weird when you say your own name like that.
I'm going to move 25 feet towards the base of the cliff that our Shatterkai friend is standing upon.
Okay.
And Nevlin pulls out his little reagent pouch and, there are no reagents for this? Well, that's kind of boring. It's like, magical components, like...
Oh, like poop.
Like nightshade or...
Yeah, guano.
A crow's eye.
Gotcha.
But this doesn't apparently, doesn't take any of that. So instead, he just, he shoves his hands forward and shakes them all about. And three scorching rays come firing at the Shatterkai on the hill.
All right, roll the hit for those.
He channels the power of skimming rinky dink.
I really was hoping you were going to rhyme it. But
hey, it's skin of the rinky dink. Skin of the rinky do. I hate you.
The most powerful spell there is.
That's 19, 17, and 24 respectively to
damn.
Hit.
Damn.
Yeah, those all hit.
Excellent. So each one of those is going to do 2d6 fire damage. That is 26 fire damage to the Shatterkai on the hill.
Zoinks.
Shit. Yeah, he takes these hits and just kind of like drops down to a knee as his body is singed by this fire. And you can see like bits of flesh falling off of his face. He does not look good.
Holy shit, this guy ain't dead yet?
Carry on.
Okay. Now that's going to be Torque's turn.
Okay, so Torque is going to drop his Gordon Matthew Thomas Sumner and, or, you know, his sword if you hadn't caught on quite yet.
You just GMT it?
Yeah, there's going to have to be an acronym for sure. GMT is going down to the ground, and Torque is going to run towards the river. He makes it all the way to the edge of the river there, and he's going to pull out his crossbow, and he's going to take aim at one of the guys over on the other side.
Did he drop your sword?
Yeah.
Okay.
We just talked about it for a little while then. The GMT went down.
Oh, right. That's. I'm sorry. I was thinking it was a person for some reason.
Oh, why? Because he has four names?
Yeah, that might be the reason. All right, so go on ahead. Which one are you attacking?
I believe the first Fomorian warrior. Just really wanted to see.
All right, so the one that's actually up closer to Goldbloom.
The foremost Fomorian warrior.
The foremost Fomorian warrior.
Exactly. The foremost Fomorian warrior in the foreground.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, boo. All right. That's an 11.
That is not going to hit. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Didn't think it would. With my extra attack, I will try again.
Yes. But you probably won't hit him because he's a Fomarian warrior.
We'll see about that. It's going to be a dirty 20.
That is definitely going to hit.
Excellent. So that's going to be 10 damage.
Okay. 10 damage to the Fomarian warrior. He looks up at you and he's like, as you make him bleed his first blood.
Nice. Yeah, you. Excellent. Fuck yeah. Stoked. Let's end it on a high note. That's my turn.
All right, then it's going to be Dario's turn.
All right, I will retreat down behind one of these stone monoliths. So I run straight down about 20 feet, a little bit in behind Spud. But I basically take refuge, and I'm like, Mercule, I need you in my moment of need. And I cast a Cure Light Wounds as a second level spell, and I shake it all about just to steal your thunder. Nevlin, go fuck yourself. That's what it's all about. And
sorry,
so
you didn't do a very good job, so.
Yeah, you're right. I really tried. I was trying too hard. That's what that was. So I'll heal myself for 2d8.
Okay.
Which I rolled a 1. And another 1.
Oh, no.
Plus snake 3. Eyes. So I gave myself only 5 HP for a rousing 6. As I'm like, Mercule, I don't feel very much better. I end my turn.
All right. Then it's going to be Cornelius.
Silly people and their gods.
It was my dastardly insult to Nevlin when he couldn't defend himself.
It's called karma.
I am going to move a little bit away from the guy, and then I'm going to bunny hop, or rabbit hop, sorry.
Yep.
Out of engagement there.
Yep.
And then I'm going to cast Scorching Ray on the foremost Fomorian warrior that's in the foreground in front of me.
Yep.
And I'm going to just send all 3 at that one.
Okay.
And, oh, hell yeah.
Roll
that's
going to
be 21, 19, and 19 to hit.
Yeah, all 3 of those hit.
All right, so the first one is 5, plus 7 is 12, plus 10 is 22 fire damage on that one motherfucker.
22 fire damage in total?
Yeah.
All right, he is scorched. You have successfully scorched him with your rays of magic.
Awesome. And then I am going to use almost the rest of my movement to run right back up, and then we're going to teleport again on Goldbloom's turn.
Okay.
And, well, I'd say that both of them are going to have to...
They'll both make that dexterity saving throw as you teleport away.
Come on, Cornelius, let's blast out of here.
The first Fomorian warrior fails. The second Fomorian warrior succeeds.
Okay, so the one will take, it's 1d6 plus my proficiency bonus, which is 3, so it's going to take 7 damage, fire damage.
7 fire damage. Yeah, as you hop away, this flame bursts out from the space that you were at, burning this thing's face. You can see, like, the charred bits on the side of his face as it screams out.
And you just kind of see a shadowy kind of grin on my face, and that's my turn.
Okay. It's going to be top of the round. Spud is pissed. He's smelling like a fried shiitake, and he's pissed that Jarlin's gone, and he's like, I'll get you for this. And he starts making his way up the cliffside to the mage.
He just runs over and scales a cliff.
He goes up to the start of the ramp and starts making his way up the ramp. That's going to be Spud's turn, and then it's going to be the first Fomorian warrior's turn. He is going to, again, run... Poor Goldbloom. He runs directly towards Goldbloom and is going to multi-attack, hitting Goldbloom twice with his great axe.
Attempting to hit Goldbloom.
Yes, attempting to hit Goldbloom. So that's going to be 8 plus 5 for 13 to hit.
That is his AC.
Okay, so that's a hit. Second one is a 9 plus 5, which is a 14, which will also hit. So Goldbloom's going to take 2d12 plus 6 damage. And that is going to be 19 plus 6 for 25 damage.
Shit. Goodbye, Mr. Goldblum!
Yeah, he slashes into it once and
thank you for showing up again in another episode.
Oh my god.
Poofs out of existence.
Ah, well, I gotta go.
Then it is going to be the Shatterkai Mage's turn. Long live Goldblum. And he is going to... He pulls out a vial and downs a vial. Its contents rejuvenating him. A little bit of color returns to his face. And then he moves back. Then it's going to be the second Formorian warrior's turn. And this Formorian... This Formorian warrior is going to run straight up to you, Cornelius, and is going to multi-attack you with his great axe.
Okay.
The first one's only going to be 8 to hit, which will not. The second one is a dirty 20 to hit, which I'm assuming it does. That's going to be 8 plus 3 for 11 slashing damage to you, Cornelius. And then it's going to be Gord's turn. Gord, you have lost your rage.
Yeah. So on Gord's turn, you see his focus kind of lose. And he glares at Dario, like, not even anger, oh, sheer no. utter disappointment.
Damn.
Like, shit. I don't even want to say your name ever again, disappointment.
And say my name.
He runs across, takes a leap, and shouts out to Cornelius, "How you doing over here?" And that's his turn.
All right, and then it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
How does my line of sight work with this guy up on the hill? Can I see him from where I am?
Yes, you should be able to see him from where you are. The hill is not a straight drop, but from 25 feet back from the wall, you could definitely see him up top.
Sweet. What I think Nevlin's going to do is he's going to position himself right at the base of the cliff.
Yep.
And he pulls out a scroll of spider climb. And as he reads the words from it, it disintegrates into dust in his hands. He has cast Spider Climb on himself.
All right.
And is waiting for the next turn.
Okay.
That's the end of my turn.
That's going to be Torque's turn.
Okay, Torque's just going to do the same thing that he did last time. He's going to take aim at the first Fomorian warrior, the foremost in the foreground, blah, 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 with his crossbow.
Okay, roll the hit.
Oh, I may have rolled a nat 20.
You what? May have, or you did?
I for sure 100% definitely did.
Okay, well, max plus rolled. Let's go.
Damn, okay. Okay, that ain't bad. So 13 plus 11, so 24.
Okay.
24 damage.
His crossbow bolt shoots from... across the river and lands directly in the side of this thing's neck. He coughs as it nears his jugular and you see like a spurt of blood come out, Cornelius, from directly in front of you.
Fuck yeah!
Onto the ground.
That's yucky.
And is that your turn?
I would love to use my extra attack and just...
Oh, right.
Try
do the same thing.
Just
okay.
Maybe I'll finish him off. I rolled a 21.
Yeah, that's gonna hit.
And that'll be 10 more damage.
Okay. Yeah, and just as you see that blood squirt out the front of his neck, Cornelius, you see another one pass through the other side of his neck. And,
nice.
And squirts another little blot of blood out. And now there's a steady stream coming out of him as he tightens up his face and makes an angrier visage.
Excellent. That's going to be my turn.
Dario, it's your turn.
Okay. All right, so... Dario gets up and he looks over and he immediately locks eyes with Gord as he's all like,
"Oh, right. sorry, Gord. Shit."
And I look away and I run down south, probably about 30 feet as I sort of connect up with Nevlin again. But I see that mage sort of up on the rocky outcropping.
Yep.
I will then cast Toll the Dead on that guy.
All right.
Yeah, I'll be like, "Now you must hear the dullest tones of Mercure."
It's wisdom or dex? Wisdom, right?
It's wisdom, yes, DC 13.
You roll as an 11.
No! Oh, what does that mean?
That means he fails, because your DC's a 13.
Oh, sweet, okay. Okay, perfect. I wasn't sure if you're going to add something to that. Okay, so then...
Oh, sorry, well, did I say 11? I meant 12.
Okay, you got to raise my blood pressure a little bit. I will hit him with the necrotic damage, which is an 11 and a 2 for 13.
Yeah, this thing is not looking sexy. He again drops to one knee, just like finding it hard to stand, but he does make it back up to his feet.
Nice. And I'll be like, I'm here with you, Nevlin. Let's do this.
And that'll be my turn.
Okay, then it's going to be Cornelius' turn.
Okay, I think well, there's still more of these four Morian warriors. I'm all out of scorching rays.
You got to hop out of there, bud.
I might have to. I am going to do a rabbit hop.
Okay.
I'm going to jump back this way, and then I'm going to move a little bit more, and then I'm going to cast Burning Hands on these bitches.
Okay, so you jump back and move up to the north. All right, so do you want to explain the mechanics of Burning Hands, as I do not believe that it has been cast on this podcast yet?
I feel like it has, but as you hold your hands and thumbs, touching, fingers spread, a thin sheet of flame shoots forth from your outstretched fingertips.
All right.
It's a 15-foot cone. Each creature inside of it needs to make a dex save. If they fuck up, they take 3d6 fire damage. Half of that on a successful.
What's your DC?
15.
First one passes, second one fails.
Okay, the total number...
Wait. Yes.
The total number of fire points of damage being dealt is 15.
Okay,
one of them takes 15, and the other one shall take 8.
So as you jump back and shoot this fire out of your hand, it directly connects with the first Formorian warrior as you see his face just sort of melt off, and his skull is there as he screams and falls to his knees and then again to his stomach, dying.
Yeah.
And the second one looks so haggard now. Part of his cheek has fallen off. His body is all like black and charred. He has no more hair on his body. And yeah, it's nasty. It's nasty. Is that your turn?
Yes.
Okay. Spud, as a bonus action while Spud's running forward, he drops his swords and he runs forward 30 feet. And as he gets there, and you see out of the back of his bag, he detaches a crossbow. And as a bonus action, he creates a rain of thorns that sprouts from his crossbow bolt. He shoots off a round at this Shadarkai mage.
No! His crossbow's cooler than mine!
And he just has a cooler spell than you.
You better make fun of him for it.
And so he rolls a 13 plus 7 for, that's a dirty 20, totally hits. So he's going to get 1d6 plus 4. Oh, it's a hand crossbow too. It's not a regular crossbow, it's a hand crossbow. Probably didn't need to drop his swords, but he did it for flair anyway.
It's pure confidence.
Yeah, and he's going to take 1d6 plus 4 damage, and then in addition to that, it's also going to take, once the dexterity throw happens. We'll talk about that in a second. So he takes 9 damage. As this bolt hits him, it kills him instantly. It pierces through his garb and straight into his heart, stopping his heart. But as he is incapacitated, it is an automatic success. And it's going to take another 1d10 piercing damage just for flair. It does 9 more damage, so I'm going to say that this fucking bolt just explodes and there's a giant hole in this thing's chest as it falls forward over the face of the cliff, falling directly between you two, Nevlin and Dario. Spud turns about face and looks to his swords to pick them up the next round.
Well, that was a waste of a scroll.
Way to go, Spud. You did really great. That was awesome. Great job.
Yeah, you did good, I guess. Nothing kicks the ground.
Well, really now cool. you have spider climb now, and you're in a cavern, so you could just like run along the walls and shit. All right, so the last Primorian warrior's turn. So he is going to run in and multi-attack you, Cornelius. That's a nat 20 on the first one.
No.
And a 6 plus 5 for the second, which is, I believe, a miss.
It is a miss. And okay, the natural 22, I have an immunity to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Liar.
Yeah.
Like,
of course.
Wait, is that a thing?
As all Herengon do have a natural immunity to critical hits.
Yeah. They have just such fluffy bums. They cannot be kicked.
Oh,
they're too cute.
If that's what it was.
They're too cute to take a full critical hit.
They're critically cute.
So you're going to take 15 damage to start. And that is a 6 on top of that. So 21 slashing damage as this thing misses the first time, but connects with the second slash and slices you right along your cute bunny tummy. And then it's going to be Gord's turn.
How weak does this Pomorian look?
Fairly fucked up.
Gord walks over to it and flanks it. He says, well, this may be a mercy kill. And he'll take his attack.
Okay.
A 21 to hit?
Yeah.
13 damage on the first one.
Yeah, you slash into this thing with your glaive, and its head just lops. You don't even notice at first. You're baffled by your own strength. This head just like descends. It ascends first, and then you see it kind of flying through the air, does a couple flips, and then drinks some blood drops on Cornelius, and then it lands like 5 feet beside Cornelius and just hits the ground as the body drops.
You're welcome.
Sick is.
And you guys have what do I normally say?
I
don't know.
You guys have won this battle. You guys
have kicked a lot of serious ass.
You kicked a lot of serious ass and now you can move forward.
What a treat that was.
So, you guys have cleared that battle.
I searched the corpses.
Yeah, you search the corpses.
Specifically, Nevlin walks up the 20-foot cliff with his awesome spider climb powers and searches the wizard.
You guys see Nevlin climb up the 20-foot cliff, and then once he gets to the top, he climbs back down the 20 feet and then walks 5 feet to the corpse that was at the bottom of the cliff.
Oh, yeah.
It looks really cool.
It does look cool, though.
You search him, and you find a pouch containing 64 gold pieces. You also find some random spell components.
Does he have any more guano on him?
There's some tiny bit of guano left wrapped in a foil of sorts.
Nice.
How he got his guano out of the foil is a mystery.
Cooked it.
And that is all you find on the mage.
I'll search the Fomorians.
The Fomorians, they don't have much on them, but you do find in between the two of them, you find about 8 gold pieces and like 5 copper. They also carry great axes that are pretty beat to shit and just leather armor.
I'm going to go up to the face spider. I'm going to take one of its fangs from its lorax.
Roll me a survival. Oh. Actually, roll me a strength check first to see if you can get one out.
Strength check, man. Yeah. Okay, well.
Does it have any poisons in its fangs?
It's going to be 12.
12?
Yeah.
It's a struggle. You struggle hard to get this thing out. But you manage to do it. Roll me a survival check to see how well this piece comes out.
Oh, man. No. It's going to be like a 5.
Yeah, so you pull this thing and it starts to come out, but then you pull too hard on one side and it actually breaks the tooth. Now you have like a small broken tip fang of the spider.
I'll come help you, Dario, in a minute. I'm bleeding a lot, really.
I'll come help you, Dario. I'm awfully strong and I'm very good at surviving.
I can, if you guys actually all come to me, maybe I can just heal a few of you and we can.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
that's kind of an economical idea.
I limp my way over there.
Okay, Torque walks over, and he picks up his GMT sword.
I'm looking at my whole group. Is everyone hurt pretty bad?
I'm not too bad.
I'm pretty fucked up.
On a scale of, you know, out of like 50-ish, I'm around like 4-ish.
Oh, frick. So, and I'm also quite burnt pretty bad.
Yeah, you smell delicious, but also gross at the same time.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, I can use up all my healing and probably bring you guys up marginally well. Or we could, like, maybe find time to take a rest, or are we just going to roll the dice on this one?
Well, I don't need any healing. I've got a couple of healing potions, and honestly, I didn't really take too many hits because I was very dexterous and smart in my fighting style, so I didn't get hit much.
I mean, who knows if there's going to be another group of Fomorians or mages coming by to check on these ones.
There could be four more of them.
There could be four more Fomorians. Oh, no.
Hey, Nevlin, you should dig some holes and make a trap.
Actually, I don't know if you guys noticed it, but it kind of looked like there was some sort of cave or something. Like, you know, I know we're in a cave, but... Like
there's another cave, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Cave inside the cave.
I imagine there's an exit.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm hurting pretty bad, so I'm gonna take some potions here.
Okay, that's well. Here, let me help you out. So I'll cast a third level healing spell on Cornelius. I'll cast another third level spell healing on Nevlin. Let me just quickly.
I slowly put my potions back into my my little side pouch.
So I roll this once. That's 18 for Cornelius.
Thank you.
And a 24 for Nevlin.
Yeah.
Nice.
That feels a little better.
Torque is going to drink a healing potion as well.
Yeah, I'm going to also drink one just to top myself as well.
And Gord, how bad are you doing?
Oh, I mean, I'm not terrible, but definitely more than a healing potion.
Definitely more than a healing potion. Well, here, have this. I heal you for 16.
Sounds good.
Spud is going to cast Cure Wounds on himself.
And then I'll heal myself as well. God damn it. I'm so bad at healing myself.
Nevlin also downed a healing potion for 8 hit points.
So Spud casts Cure Wounds on himself twice.
Because he couldn't do it right this first time?
No, because he's pretty wounded. He's like extremely wounded.
I was just trying to be offensive, that's all.
13 plus 4...
Torque would like to roll to see if he can get that other, the second spider fang out.
Okay, roll me a strength check first.
Would love nothing more than to... Oh, fuck. Oh, actually, it's a 9, not a 6, so that's not so bad. That'll be a 14.
Yeah, so you do manage to get it out. Roll me a survival check to see how it turns out.
Nat 20, baby.
Yeah, so you successfully release the entire fang from its mouth, and you are now holding one phase spider fang.
Oh, well, Dario, that wasn't all that hard to get it out in one piece. Here you go. I don't want it. This is for you.
Oh, sick. Thanks, Tork. Thank you. Here, as a token of my gratitude, if you want, you can have this little shitty shard that I managed to crack off.
Oh, I'll keep it always. Thanks.
As soon as I look away, Tork just fucking throws it somewhere.
He definitely chucks it.
Alright, so you guys are all healed up-ish. Are you going to continue on through the cave?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's spelunk
a little.
I think
so. Spelunking.
So you guys spelunk your way up north. So
way up north.
You get up to the top of this cave and you can see the light of the fungi field grows brighter and brighter as you approach the northern end of the cave. And as you get to the northernmost of the cave, you see the exit there. And it draws in through somewhere else. So
just before we get through, I'm going to ask Damon. I'll be like, hey, Damon, what are those mushrooms?
Yeah, do you know those guys?
Are they your family or something?
Do you want to maybe stay here, set up camp with them, live with them for the rest of eternity?
I'm pretty sure those are just Dave Chanterelles.
Stop! So mad
they're
at
edible. They're edible. They make you laugh, though. They have a bit of a.
Oh, maybe Gord. Gord maybe used to try some.
Yeah, I think if we put our berserker on some kind of mushroom trip, that's gonna be really.
Yeah,
dangerous.
I mean they have some psychedelic effects, but also they give you horrible gas.
Nevlin walks over and he cuts a few out of the ground and puts them in a pouch.
Nice.
You now have like a pouch of 3 Dave Chanterelles.
Yeah, I'll pick one or two.
Torque takes a few as well, without Gord seeing.
It's gonna bite me in the
ass. Yeah, I'm gonna grab some.
So you guys all cross the river and pick a bunch of fucking magic mushrooms called Dave Chanterelles.
Actually, Torque picks enough for him to sell to other people in the future.
do a live episode of where I'll do mushrooms.
Yeah, you find like 7. 7 full mushrooms. So, are you all done with your druggy bullshit?
Yes.
You mean the beginnings of our business empire? Yes, we're finished.
For now.
As you move forward through the cave exit, you begin to smell the stagnation that exists in Reaper's Pass, a mix of decay and mildew, not pleasant to the senses. With each step forward along the cave wall, the sound of creatures in the dark grow louder and more present. You traverse the rocky terrain until you begin to see what looks to be skulls of various humanoids up in the distance. As you approach, the skulls begin to take proper shape as they shift into focus. Thousands of them lay scattered across the cave floor, some in massive piles. Rounding the corner, you see that the skulls extend far up to a large wall made of tanned hide with a huge iron gate in the center. 100 feet in front of where you stand, there lay a path between the skulls that leads to the iron gate.
So you guys can see up that path that about halfway there is a tall orc in full leather armor standing some 100 feet before the gate. Roll me a perception check.
25.
15.
14.
12.
18 for Nevlin.
So we'll just say, like, Nevlin and Cornelius, you guys notice that this orc has a blood-splattered skull mask over his face. He's armed with a terrifying great axe, the hilt of which leans against his waist. How do you guys want to proceed from here?
I just turn and look at Gord.
Yeah.
Me too.
I'll just be like, whoa, big guy, this is for you, I think.
Yep. All right. I'll walk forward and,
I'll walk with him.
You know what?
I'm from the Fae. It might help.
All right.
Yeah, do the rest of us want to stay back, or you want us with you there, Gord?
You know what? I might recommend you guys stay back for just a minute.
That's a good idea. Dario is keenly aware of his elf lineage now at this point, as he's like, I don't know how close I want to be to this one.
Gord walks forward, and as he does, he takes his glaive out, and he cuts himself a little bit, and then smears the blood on his chest and on his symbol as he walks forward.
So as you approach the orc, he does not move, only shouts in orcish. And Gord, you know this roughly translates into common. Step no further, or I will split your fucking head in two. And right after that, he says, Nokrakulatsky Shai Nekthrok Pushalog. Which roughly translates to, what is your fucking purpose in Nekthrok, you giant sack of troll dung?
This guy has a way with words.
I'll reply back in orc. We need to take care of business. Naka pota puti. Which translates to, you insolent fool. We're here to help destroy the Fomorians and take back the rightful place as Grumpsh's children.
He scratches his head a little bit and kind of leans on his axe, and he looks down, he finishes scratching his head, and then he looks up again and he's like, Latgosh Oknar, which you know means you must speak with the chief. And with that, he grabs his massive axe, throws it over his shoulders, and begins walking toward the iron gates. He grunts back at you all. Moving his arm for you to come.
Tool time!
Once at the gate, he lifts his axe with ease and knocks it 4 times on the iron gate, which soon after raises high above the hide wall. So you guys all make your way up towards the iron gate.
Yeah, real charming place.
As you walk through the iron gate, you see a large circular village of sizable blood-splattered huts made from some kind of smelly, unnatural hide, fastened with rope and dark wood branches. Surrounding the village and behind the exterior walls are multiple spiked barriers made of the same wood, sharpened to a point and held together with rope. When paired with the hide exterior walls, it creates a genius and formidable defense, especially considering the intelligence of the orcs. In the center of the huts, there is a large recess in the ground, bottom filled with crushed bone and lined with skulls on pikes. Past there, a bonfire casts light on the largest hut at the head of the village, while orcs who sit around various huts and fires arise as you enter. A barbarian stops you in front of the bonfire and gestures forward with his axe while all the orcs bend the knee. Through the shadows cast, a massive orc walks out from the tent flap of the huge hut. Blood-red armor glistens with the light of the fire as he walks toward you, ornate glaive in hand. His cave bear mask is long and covers his whole face while the hide drops off his shoulders acting as a cloak. The sheer terror in the expression of the bear gives goosebumps even to the orcs. In a low, grumbly tone, the orc raises his glaive for silence, and after a moment, he speaks.
Nokrades vikitator,
which Gord translates to, under what authority do you come to this village? Followed by
Nokrashal Grumshlat Aga,
and says, what in the name of Grumsh could you possibly wish to achieve?
I respond in orc, Uka Grumsh Pika Turquoise Tuka, which translates to, I come in the name of Grumsh to gain information on Magturia.
Lat Noctur Grumsh, Lat Lutiam Tukor Krish, Kri Krishur, Omviras Lat I Ork Tukor, Omlat Shok, Kolknij, Liwugosh.
And you know this means you must fight to prove yourself to Grumsh. Your champion must fight me. If you die, you may not be worthy, but if you live, we will speak.
All right, Tork, go on.
what did he say? I'm happy to help. Okay.
The guard motions towards the pit and waits for you to advance as the chief tightens his grip on his glaive and moves around the party and down into the pit. As he stands in the middle of the pit, he raises his arms and lets out a war cry, circling around as the other orcs cheer and move in close to the edge surrounding the pit.
Well, this is gonna be fun. I'll head into the pit.
Where are you going?
I'll be back in a minute. Or maybe not.
What is that? Do you need us to do anything?
Can Nevlin do a perception check to see if anybody's making bets?
No. Actually, no one is making bets. This is them fighting for... The orcs are super tribal and, like, religious. I think they're mostly... Like, they're very serious about this because this could potentially be a blood sacrifice to their god, so...
Anyone want to place a... No?
Anybody? Right. You want some mushrooms? I got real good mushrooms. No?
Tork and Nevlin are going to end up being sleazy promoters.
We have no time for your capitalist ventures right now, Tork.
Nevlin, high or low?
High. Always.
Yeah, you find one guy. One guy that comes up out of the... He's like,
I only speak common, eh?
Yeah, that's...
You want bet? I bet for this, for you.
What are we... We're just betting with each other?
Yes, but who do you think win?
Oh, I got my money on the big fella there. Chief.
Oh, how much money? How much you bet?
Yeah, I bet you 20 gold pieces.
I take that bet.
Alright.
This will be fun.
Yeah, you got it, buddy.
So yeah, he walks away. Maybe a warrior's handshake or something like that.
Alright, Nevlin mutters, come on, Gord, don't let me down.
Before we start, he's going to pump the rest of his lay on hands into himself.
Okay, I'll allow it. Tork, you want to...
Oh yeah, we're going
to
sell some drugs.
Like, you know, we get these right outside of our house. Like, they're literally 100 feet away.
They're very stupid.
Yeah, orcs are pretty dumb. High or low, Caitlin?
Low.
No. Ugh. Sorry. Yeah, these people do. They're dumb, but they're like, those are just. One guy comes up and he's like, Mike, that's a Daishin trail. We've got loads of them just outside.
Oh, no, this is from very far away.
Yeah, sure it is.
And he kind of snuffs you off and then goes back to the fight. Yeah.
Damn it.
At that, as Gord moves his way down into the pit, the chief of the village raises his glaive to silence the crowd. And it's just a dull silence at that point. And I need you to roll initiative, Gord.
All right. That's an 11.
So he got a 14, so he's going to go first. Okay, so Gord, the orc chief looks at you and shakes his head and says,
10 years I searched for you. 5 of them I made the mistake of hoping there was an explanation for your disappearance. But yet, here you are. Those who abandon Grumsh forfeit their lives. Be grateful for this chance to prove your worth, traitor.
I never... abandoned Grumsh. I fought for him until I was lost in battle. I fell into a wasteland, breaking the ties that bind us all together, breaking my connection with Grumsh. But you... You say you deserted the cause to search for me? You are a traitor. I don't know who you are, but I thought better of my soldiers than to abandon the cause of Grumsh. Do you still hear him? Or were you too weak and low to be blessed by his voice?
He immediately comes at you. He has his glaive in his hand. He drops his glaive as he runs towards you. And in a frenzied rage, a frenzy attack, I suppose, he comes at you with his fists. And on his first attack, he's got an 18 plus 9 to hit. So that's going to be a 20. Yeah. And then you're going to take 9 bludgeoning damage to start. Then it's going to be another for his extra attack. That's going to be another hit, I believe, 17 plus 9.
Yep.
And again, the same 9 bludgeoning damage as he pounds into your face. And he'll take his bonus attack, frenzy attack. That's going to be a 14 plus 9. For 20, yeah. That's going to be 2 plus 6 for 8 bludgeoning damage. As he hits you the last time, he smiles and then disengages from you.
Question.
Yeah.
Is this a fight with weapons or a fight with fists?
It's a fight. Nothing was specified. You can fight with your glaive if you want.
Perfect. Can I retroact something as he comes towards me? I will make my opportunity attack against him.
Oh, with your glaive?
With my glaive.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
You could do it, Gord.
Cut them.
That is 26.
Yeah, that's going to hit.
Awesome. So, before he hits me, he'll take 12 damage.
Okay, well, it's going to be your turn.
Excellent. And I go, that wasn't very nice. Time for you to learn some manners. And I'll hone my focus and rage. I'll recklessly attack with my glaive. And that's a 22 to hit.
Yep, that's a hit.
Perfect. So that is 13 regular damage and 5 necrotic damage.
Okay.
Excellent. And then I will dance back. So you want to try that again?
I followed my orders. I followed my leader. I followed my friend.
The orc chief then rips off his mask, revealing his heterochromia, one red eye and one blue. Your comrade and brother-in-arms, Umra Skullsplitter.
All right, he runs straight into you again.
Excellent, I'll take an opportunity attack against him.
Yep.
Ooh, that is a 23.
Yep, that's a hit.
Excellent, that's 9 extra damage.
Okay. All right, with this, he pulls out his great axe, and he's going to come at you with his great axe. That's a 19, which for him, as he has improved critical, is a critical hit on his first attack. So that's going to be 1d12 plus 6 for 18 damage plus 1d12 plus 6. That's another 9 plus 6 and 15, so 18 plus 15... is
33.
Yes, it is indeed 33 damage, Gord. For his second hit, he rolls a 9 plus 6 for 15.
Yep.
Okay, max damage on that one. You're gonna take 12 plus 6 for another 18 damage.
Okay. And all of these are halved.
Yeah, because you're in rage.
These last two, at least. The first ones weren't.
Yep, and the chief has also been taking half damage as well, just so the audience is clear. And then on his frenzy, he's going to attack as a bonus action once more, and that's going to be another hit for 11 plus 6 is 17 for another 8 plus 6 for 14 damage.
Okay.
And he's going to stay right there.
Excellent.
Get him, Gord, hit him, murder him!
I will recklessly attack again.
Yep.
This might be the last time that we see Gord.
And that's a nat 20.
Oh!
Nice!
All right, go for it.
a nat 20, that initial damage will be 32. Does he take half damage on necrotic damage as well? Or is it just bludgeoning and piercing?
Ooh. Yeah, he'll take full damage.
Cool. I'm going to start with 26 regular damage, which would be half to 13. Mm-hmm. And then 8 necrotic damage.
Okay.
And then on top of it, he'll take an additional 8 necrotic damage and 16 regular damage.
Okay.
Using my bonus action, I'll flip my glaive around.
Okay.
Take a nice good swing, and that's another nat 20.
Fuck on! Okay.
Oh, shit.
Go for it.
So that's 8, 9, 10 regular damage.
Yep.
Plus an additional 10 damage.
Okay, so 10 total.
And then I will disengage, move back, and he says, it's good to see a friendly face one last time. He really sent you for me. He let you search all this time. I'm not getting out of here alive, am I, Umra?
You just see him nod at you.
Umra throws his axe to the side as he moves closer into his betrayer, unleashing his final rage-filled fury. As the blood sprays in the air with each blow, you watch as Gord is pummeled harder and harder, pushed down to the ground further and further. Blows to the head and to the legs, and then to the chest force him into submission. Unable to stand, both legs broken, Gord stops resisting, kneeling as his eyes begin to swell shut. What resemblance to the man you once knew is now lost, and his face now rests expressionless, torn, and half caved in. Blood covered, Umra lifts himself and steps back, panting as the veins in his arms and necks pulse with intensity. Smiling, he lets out a terrifying battle cry, signifying his victory and his dominance as chief. Yeah! With this, his screams are matched with a crowd of orcs surrounding the pit. Umra lifts his arms and turns his back to Gord as he walks to his axe and leans down to pick it up. What do you see?
As Gord watches Umra approach, with puffy eyes, his focus evaporates and his mind shifts to 15 years ago when he first lost connection falling into the shadow. And then flashes of his wife Marjorie, the fond memories they had, his daughter's Tasha's birth, and then every image after that is of her. Until the eye of Grumpch fades once more into his mind. He takes one last glance to the rest of the group and musters up enough to smile wincingly with his broken teeth. Looks like I can't protect you all like I wish I could.
Umra then grabs the hilt of his axe and rests the flat against Gord's cheek as he looks to the battered hero for any last words, at which point Gord replies out of swollen lips.
Since you've been searching, I found my freedom, my friend. And while the connection to Grumpch is ever rewarding, I hope you too find your own reward one day. You can stop searching for a ghost who's been long gone. No longer hold you back. I'm glad it was you.
Umra swings diagonally down towards Gord as he screams, basking in the blood as Gord's head and neck are severed from his torso. Umra places his right foot on Gord's lifeless chest and kicks his body, which falls to the ground. He leans down and grabs the head by the hair and lifts it high into the sky, screaming, dousing himself in the blood pouring from the hero's neck. As the roar of the orcs increases, you're grabbed from behind and pulled away from the pit, setting eyes for the last time on your friend, your companion, Gord Godhand.
And that's where we're ending the session.
No.
No.
Holy shit. No.
No.
Gord!